Thank you, Lord. I was born ready. Thank you, Lord. The Lord says one day you're going to believe it. One day you're going to believe it. No more slumped shoulders. No more defeat. No more tears. No more discouragement. No more pain. No more suffering. The things that you sing about, they are your reality. They are, whether you realize it or not, that's what's coming. That's what's coming. One day you're not just going to sing about it. You're going to really know it. And you're going to believe it. It's not just somewhere out there. I just kept seeing us just coming to the Father and just hanging out with Him. And every time He'd see us, it was always with His arm, you know. A lot of us didn't have that as children. But we have it as children of God. So the Lord just wants you to know, it's not just a song. It's not just a promise. It's not just a cliche. But it is the truth. All right. This is Sunday morning, 3/19/23. This is the Prophet's Corner Uncut. We're going to talk about our daily bread today. With that, I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 12. I want to speak to you about communion today, maybe in a different light. I kind of started Wednesday night a little bit on it, but I think you're going to see it maybe in a way you've never seen it before. I know that I see it differently than I saw before, I've seen before. It's real easy to take the ordinances that we do in church and just, you know, eat a little piece of bread and drink a little juice, not really understand what you're doing. You just do it. Well, we're going to find out this morning why we do it, what it means. All right, Exodus 12, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Now, I want you to put this in perspective of what the Lord just said to you about Father's house and how Father looks at us, how Father cares for us, how He feels about us. This was the beginning. We're going through the crumbling of the beast system, I'll just put it that way. And we're about to embrace Father's house. In the prodigal, how did the father treat the prodigal? He saw him coming afar off and he ran to meet him and kissed him and gave him the best robe, put a ring on his finger. He didn't reprimand him because he'd wasted all his living with harlots and whatever. He was just so glad to see him. He called a party together, called the caterers and killed the fatted calf. Had a big whoop-de-doo party. And even then, the older brother, well, this son of yours, he wouldn't even come to the party. He said, son, all that I have is yours, always has been, and it's yours now. The Lord wants us to know it, not say it, not sing it, not even just teach it, but know it. Know it. I mean, in the natural, you know when somebody likes you or they don't. You pick up on it. Speak unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. If the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorpost of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast it with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire his head with his legs and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both of man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. I think the same thing is where we sit today. The death angel's passing through our land and the land nations of the world. But as children of God, what's our victory? By the blood of the Lamb. The word of our testimony. Right here, unleavened means unfermented or no yeast, which we looked into leaven. You could say sin. In Scripture, leaven is it's a representative of sin. John the Baptist recognized Jesus as the Lamb of God. This is John chapter 1. Why were they doing this? They were partaking of something that was yet to come. They probably didn't understand it. To them, it was just an ordinance. But no, it was Jesus in the old covenant. He's there. He's all through it. He was in the beginning. He's always been there. John 1:29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore I am come, baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven out like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same saith unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. So Jesus, what did he do? He died on the cross to take away the sins of the world. All right, the Feast of Unleavened Bread was a type and shadow of what Jesus did. All right, 1 Corinthians 5:7. Now he's talking about in context here a man that was got into fornication with his stepmother. Leaven. See, Paul had to deal with these issues because this leaven would have leavened the whole lump. Right here, verse 7. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump. As ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. To me, I believe this is the true purpose of Passover and communion. It's the constant reminder of our unleaven. What keeps us from everything God has for us? Leaven. Leaven. We've all been MK. Mind controlled. All of us. All our lives. And even though we get born again and we get filled with the Spirit, A lot of people still walk in this place of mixture. What happens when there's mixture? Not a whole lot happens. We've watered down the gospel to fit our leaven. Okay. The casting out of the old leaven. Communion is a Christian tradition according to Scripture, but I really think that most people don't even know what they are really partaking of. Communion symbolized the removing of the leaven. This is what compromised even the garden and all of mankind. This was one of Paul's fears. He expressed it before he left. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 11, just a little bit over 23. We're going to partake of this here in a minute. Well, that's not the scripture I was thinking I was going to. Anyway, we'll get there. Right here. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup which he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whatsoever or whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. How do you drink unworthily? You don't have a clear understanding of what you're doing. It's not, well, I got mad at my so-and-so yesterday. No, that's not what it's talking about. We're discerning his body. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. We just don't realize what he really did. For this many, or this cause many are weak and sickly among you, many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. If any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. So what is rightly discerning the Lord's body? He came to take away the leaven. We have been a captured operation. This whole earth was captured under Satan. And to this day, most still are, even Christians, because they don't rightly discern what he did. You know, if we really looked at it the way that the scripture portrays it, that leaven talks about sin, you're sinless, then you could go to Father with open arms. And never feel the lash. Never feel like... Because, see, Satan comes to condemn. The Father does not do that. When he chastens and corrects, it's in a way that you see it. And you say, yeah, it's for your betterment. It's for your good. It's not for to beat you up and think, well, you'll never forget that. Like maybe earthly fathers might do. Let's keep going here. I hope you get the picture. Many are weak and sick and have died because they have not discerned the true meaning of this ordinance. If they had discerned it, they wouldn't be weak or sick or die. Most people that I know of, even people that are been in ministry for years, that they'll pray, but if they don't see what they want, off to the doctor they go. It's where you are. I'm not condemning anybody, and if the Lord says go, you best go. But my thing is, they don't realize the complete work that Jesus did. Especially now that we know what it is. All right. How come they are weak and sick and some have died? Leaven. What brought sickness into the world? Wasn't Satan. We're going to look at that. Sin. Now Satan tricked the woman and she sinned. And with that came the curse of the law. Right? All right. Just hold on with me. We're going to get to everything. All right, Jesus warned his disciples. Matthew 16. May y'all just be thankful when the whole body is all one band, one sound. They're all hearing the same thing. They all know the ordinances of the Lord. They all know His Word and what it means. And they're all walking in the same direction, flowing in the kingdom of God instead of all these factions. All this division. All right, this is verse 6. Then Jesus said, "Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees." See, these were the religious leaders of the day. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "It is because we have taken no bread." Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, "O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, how many baskets ye took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000, how many baskets ye took up?" You know, we can think this is silly of the apostles, but don't we do this? Here, something's going on, and we're thinking, "Oh, it's because I didn't do this." It has nothing to do with that. We just think like natural men. We're so used to missing it that we get that miss it mentality that if something's going wrong, it must be because I did something wrong. How'd I start this out? That Father's house and how He treats His children. They thought, "Is it because we didn't get no loaf of bread?" Jesus said, "What's bread got to do with it?" Nothing. "How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." It's never about bread. Not literal bread. It's about anything contrary to what that covenant has said and it has done. A lot of people don't like that. They think it's too hard. I kind of feel like A.W. Kenyon a lot of times, because he was very much a stickler of the word. Yeah, he wore glasses. But I tell you, he was one that if he saw you acting inappropriately and you'd believe for healing and you wouldn't, he'd call you out on it. How can you go back under that other? Basically, he'd say to him. My people say, "Well, that's just too hard, you know." Today, people are so wishy-washy and watered down in their faith. Maybe if we'd stuck with more of a straight line, they'd know how to walk it. You know, you have to practice this. You can't just say, "Well, it sounds good," but then when it knocks on your door, you have to walk in it. All right, Lord, help me to get this out the way it needs to be got out. All right, turn with to 2 Timothy. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. That sound familiar? Here's one of the fables. What you're eating is killing you. what they're spraying in the skies is killing you. Am I telling the truth? It's coming out of every sector. Even the ones that are Christians. They've all picked it up. Truth, what you're drinking or what you're thinking and saying is killing you. All right, let's keep going here. Verse 24 of 2 Timothy. This is 2 Timothy 2:24. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God preadventure will give them repentance to the knowledge of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. How come? They're thinking. Even under the old covenant, they understood the blessings and the curses. I read Deuteronomy 28, Monday through Friday, and I read the blessings. I don't read the curses. But they had two mountains. One was the blessing, one was the cursing. All right. This is part of what Jesus did, redemption from the curse. When man sinned by Satan's trickery, sin came in, and with it the curse of the law. All right, Galatians 3:13 and 14, it tells us Jesus became the curse for us. Verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That's why he had to die the way he did. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. He became the curse. Now, I wrote down here Deuteronomy 28. It's got 46 verses, but I don't want to read that today because we all know what it says. It talks about the blessings, and there's more curses than there are blessings. If you do this, then you get this. If you don't do this, you don't get this. That's basically what it says. Okay, well, the devil made me do it. It's not going to wash. You know what? The devil doesn't have as much power as we give him. Most people go around talking about what the devil's doing, even with the Truther movement. That's what they talk about. The deep state, the deep state, the deep state, the deep state, the deep state. Well, it doesn't matter what the deep state's doing. All that matters to me, what's God doing? What's he doing? All right. All right, Jesus is our daily bread, the bread that came down from heaven. The manna was not the bread, but a type and shadow of it. This is John chapter 6. I'm going to start with verse 25. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which entereth into unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. Therefore said they, they said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Sounds like the church crowd we've been around. If they don't see some sign, some work, they ain't going to believe it. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Get the bigger picture here. We have been seized by Satan. The world was taken captive long before 1871 or whenever it was. Since the fall. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I shall lose nothing, but shall raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Then the Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Let me see where I'm going. Okay. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God. He hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever, and the bread that I give him is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? See, they were looking at, he's a cannibal. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna, and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Look what happened. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Doth this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit in their life. Same way with this communion. It's not just the fleshly ordinance that we do. It has spirit meaning behind it. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then Jesus said unto the 12, Will you go away? Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? That's how I feel. Lord, I don't have anywhere to go. You're all. Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Just like the people of that day obviously mistook what Jesus said, I believe the people of this day obviously mistake what the Word says. All right, he was talking about spiritual matters, this spiritual covenant, Not a covenant by hands like the law. It's like, like I said, the devil, the great and powerful Oz here. Oh, the devil's been after me all week. Oh, the devil's done this and the devil's done that. I'm going, but God? But God? We walk around and act like with our slumped shoulders like the devil. Do we or do we not? Am I talking to anybody except myself today? When you get a hold of what He's really done for us, how can we stay with the slumped shoulders? How can we stay beat down? It's a matter of what we're looking at. We're either looking at the great and powerful Oz or we're looking at God. Is sickness and disease in the hands of the devil? No! And I'm going to show you that. Most would say, yeah, the devil put this on me. No, you put it on yourself. It's in your power. It's not in His. You've been given the choice to create whatever you want. The devil can't create. That's why he's so mad. That's why he's come down and he's so mad. He's making war against the saints because he thought he should have got creation ability like the sons and daughters of God. But what happened? He got kicked to the curb is what happened. He got kicked completely out of heaven. Because he wants to create, and he can say it all day. He can say it for 100 years and deceive people. But he cannot create. He's not a creator. He's angel class. We are God class. We've been made in His likeness and image. How many times have I read Genesis 1:26-28? Made in the likeness and image of God. Go take control. Go set the temperature. Set the climate. Do it the way that you want it done. Say what you want. Speak what you want. Speak to your mountains. Well, the devil, he's nothing. He's been defeated. Okay. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of who? Or what? Tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Do we walk around like we're children of the King, or do we walk around like a bunch of smoes? Yeah, everybody wants some of that, don't they? Yesterday I said, Lord, thank you so much that you're helping me to acclimate, because we have to pay the price, because we're taking this kingdom by force, and the pressure that comes against us, because we cannot cause it to take us backtrack. James 3. Hope I'm not just preaching to the choir today. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. How are we the master? For many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bribe the whole body. What causes us to offend? Our tongue. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therefore we bless God. Therefore bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? So what puts us in the place of God is our tongue. God said, light me. And it was. Jesus said, speak to the mountain. Isn't that the same concept? The God that calls those things that be not as though they were. How does the devil trick us? He wants us to call those things that are. The things we see that we don't like. That's what all of this is about. That's the only power he has, is the power of deception. Changes the picture, doesn't it? This is what Joshua said. They even knew this in the new covenant, old covenant, excuse me. And if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, rather the gods of which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood. Genesis 6. Noah, where we sit today, as in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. All but Noah and his family survived. Are the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now we know what he did. He took Jericho and he took a vast part of the land that was promised. Not all, but a lot. One man. Those gods that were working in Noah's day are still here working. These demonic entities, you can call them what you want to. They're aliens now, UFOs, aliens and all that garbage. They're demonic entities. But most people, Christians, believe it. Oh, yes. They don't see that there's over 200 scriptures that substantiate flat earth. I looked at a little video. It wasn't very long, 15 minutes. It was one of Phil's. And it was all people talking to pilots. And every single one of them said, yeah, it's flat. He said, well, this man knew his stuff. He walked in there, he'd say, well, can you tell me, you know, how you adjust for the curvature of the earth? Oh, we don't ever have to do that. In fact, we have our nose up going like this constantly. Flat. He said, it's flat. Every single pilot. Some of them been flying for over 30 years. They know. But they one group was honest and said, we're told we're not supposed to say that it's flat. It's a narrative. Well, you get your bonus this year if you kept your mouth shut, you know. Tell us we haven't been scammed. All right. Satan just simply tries to talk you out of your stance. He's jealous of you. He hates your guts because he thinks you took what was rightfully his famous five I wills. What was he doing? He's trying to create. That's why the deep state today, they push the same old dead horse. Let's another round of COVID. And here it goes, all mainstream. COVID, 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 mask, mask. And other crap. He's trying to create. And he knows that you're the creator. You are just like God in your creating. God gave you that as a child of God. Shouldn't a child be like his father? He knows that. Don't think for a minute that he believes any of the stuff that he pushes, other than the fact that if he can get you to believe it and have it in your eyes, it'd be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides if you don't get rid of them. It's constantly in your face 24/7. To where you know it, you're speaking it out of your mouth. And what have you just done? Just what he wanted you to do. That's the only power he has. He has no power to put anything on you or do anything to you. How could he do that? Well, Jesus took it. This communion, this covenant, he took it. He took all sickness, all disease forever. Galatians. So what's he bringing to you? Fake news. His tactics do not change. They do the same old playbook over and over and over. Never new. Nothing new under the sun. Even Solomon come to that conclusion. Nothing new under the sun. The devil's the same old devil and the same old trick. That's why Paul said, just like the serpent beguiled Eve, I'm afraid that when I leave, when I'm out of here, he's going to do it to you too. Wasn't he ever right? Galatians 5. Verse 16. This I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know what is walking in the Spirit? Jesus gave his body for me. Therefore, I'm well. I don't care. I'm well. It says I'm well. When you walk in the Spirit, you know these things. When you get in the flesh, you start listening to how you feel and all that garbage goes with it. What do? You start giving into that. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Jesus said in Matthew 6, you can't serve two masters. One master says, oh, what are we going to eat, drink, or wear? The other one says, I thank you, Lord, that you take care of the birds and you're going to take care of me. You clothe the lilies, you're going to take care of me. Choose, it says. But you can't do both. And most Christians live right there in the mixture. And they never see nothing. Doesn't have to be that way. Like I said, the devil knows how it works. He uses you as his patsy if you will allow him to. But when you fall, He ain't going to help you up. He's just going to, I got you. All right. Satan is all mad because you can create and he can't. Try though he may, he will never complete his faith confessions of his famous Isaiah 14. I will ascend into the Most High. No, he's not going to make it off this earth. He's not even going to go through the dome. He can't even. All the tactics that he's tried through all of our militaries and different presidents that have, like Fishbowl, Operation Fishbowl, they tried to blast through the firmament with an atomic bomb. They can't do it. Jesus is the only one. He's going to roll it back. I can just see a sardine can, you know, that little thing, and it rolls the deal back. So it says he's going to roll it back like a scroll. It does. It rolls the tin, the lid, up like a scroll. Everything he's tried, he's failed at. If Christians just had half the gumption in the persistence, we'd have the world won. Okay. 2 Corinthians 11:3, I believe it's that scripture that I just quoted that Paul said right here. No, it's not. 2 Corinthians. Oh, I'm in the wrong place. Sorry. Here. Yeah, that's right. It's verse 3. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve, though through his subtlety, so your mind, subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So that's what the whole world, you know. If the devil was the author of sickness and disease, as some teach, then couldn't he just do it to any time he wanted? I would think so, right? If he had that ability, if he created it, he can't. Because there is no real. One thing about the devil, and it's been consistent, and we've seen it. We've seen it in our own culture. The CGI. People thinking they saw planes hit the towers when they really didn't. When there was bombs inside the building, imploded. The building imploded like a controlled demolition. So everything that the devil has done is all this, they call it, like, he does miracles and he does all these things. You know, you see the sky filled with spaceships or whatever. You've seen the pictures of it, people in gyms, and you can see whales floating and all kinds of things up overhead. It's all CGI. This is the devil's trickery. Technology. He's used men. Giving them this, you know, this extra knowledge that I know, you know, half God said, you know, I just know more. And he believed him. He's still doing the same thing. I was telling Danny, there was a film that I watched. They were interviewing this man that he had a friend that worked down in the dumps. And the guy said he had seen Nephilim that were like 12 foot to 25 foot tall working along with scientists and just regular people. But he said, when you go to work there, you have to sign an affidavit that you'll never use the word Jesus Christ, even if it is slang. This stuff is real. This is what the devil's done. It's just all smoke and mirrors. That's why you can see somebody that was supposedly executed 3 years ago giving a speech. It's either CGI, green screen, or it's somebody in a mask, or a clone. They've been doing clones since 1938. In fact, they've destroyed some clone factories here recently. You know, he's just a flim-flam man. All he uses is trickery. I know the Lord showed me that in Dallas on that diagnostic floor. He said, all these machines are trickery. And it doesn't mean the doctors that are doing them or the technicians that are doing them are in the know. But the people at the top are in the know. I believe the medical students go and they learn their curriculum. And they believe what they're doing is true. But it's not. It's just at the top, they set down what you're going to, just like in our schools, being infiltrated in our schools, Satan's narrative, and what we're looking at today. So he said, these machines, it's trickery. They use trickery. Another one I wrote down, I should have brought this up here. A young man was a chemist. He looked very young, like he's probably in the 30s. He worked for a drug company, and he said, they are not into cures. They're into getting you coming and keep coming and keep coming. And when you run out of symptoms, they make diseases so that you can get sick by what you're actually taking for that particular sickness. These are the drug companies. I know Christians that look like a bag of M&Ms every day, what they take. I'm going, no, why do you feel like crap? Just enough to keep you, you know. Just like the little woman with the issue of blood, doing it in that day too. There's a reason John put deceived by their sorceries. This is a beast. It's the beast. He's a beast, all right. All right, Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Our warfare is not natural. Then why in the world, if we believe that by the stripes of Jesus we are well, why will we take it into our own hands to try to do stuff in our own hands to try to combat a devil? You may get a little relief of the symptoms, but you're never going to get rid of that devil until you deal with him in the spirit realm. That's one thing they said about the drug companies. They're really, all their drugs do is mask symptoms. It never cures anything. It's never been about curing anything. And I wonder sometimes when they take organs out, is that so they can harvest those organs for money? I remember when watching Heartland, there was a, you know, Ty, he was a vet. And they would find female bears with their gallbladders missing. And they'd make thousands of dollars off of those gallbladders from those bears. So see, the organ harvesting, all that stuff, it kind of all goes hand in hand, you know, this agenda. All right, Revelation 12:17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. You want to know what's going on? There it is. All right. But the weapons of our warfare are not what? Carnal. All right. Luke 13. He was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman which had an infirmity, spirit of infirmity, 18 years, and was bowed together and could no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work, and them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. And the Lord answered him and said, thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? Yeah, because that's your money. You get money. And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? How did she get bound? Had to be. He's got to have a legal entry, y'all. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Don't take that thought sane. He plays mind games. That's what he's all about. Here's one more. This one's even better. This is John chapter 5. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease, he had. A certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying, knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool, but when I am coming, another steppeth down before me. And Jesus said unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. On the same day was the Sabbath. And then over here, this is chapter 4, or verse 14. After this, Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more. Lest what? A worse thing come on you. See, he was talking with the Pharisees. They'd flat talk him out of what Jesus did for him. And actually, he told the Pharisees who he was, and Jesus kind of got in trouble for it. I think, boy, you're talking about ungrateful. Boy, you're talking about a sorry mindset here, don't you? Right there. Kind of like people today. You give them everything, and they treat you like you're scum. Never say thank you. Well, I'm entitled. Bless God. 500 years ago, your ancestors hurt my ancestors, so you owe me. That's the way they are today. Yeah. All right. I'll just read here. Jesus indicates here that he got where he was because of sin. Sin brings the curse, and if you keep doing it, you get worse. Why? You create. A lot of people, bless their hearts, they're just in that mode. They've been in that mode for years and years and years and years and years, and they speak it and speak it and speak it. Instead of speaking the word against certain things, they get every book they can find on it and read up on it and try to do every treatment that they can do and every accommodation they can to accommodate the disease. Instead of saying, no, in the name of Jesus, get out of my house. It'd be a lot simpler to do that. Yeah. I know. And it always seems a lot easier to blame the devil for it. Well, the devil made me do it. Instead of just saying, it's my fault. Me and my big mouth. Help me, Lord, with my mouth. We've just done it so long. Even Eve, well, the serpent beguiled me and I did eat. Well, at least she was truthful about it. All Adam did was, she did it. All right, John 10:10, he's got one agenda, and one. It is not creating. It is kill, steal, destroy. And if he can get you to do the right things and say the right things, he can get that accomplished. All right. He didn't create it. He tricked you into it. He tricked the woman out of her inheritance and ours. All right, a few more. Romans 6. Verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now keep in mind, leaven and unleavened. Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him in baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. If you walk in resurrection power, you're not going to walk under the curse. Knowing that this, that our old man is crucified with him, and that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. See, Satan's a legalist. He'll use the law to get in on you. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I mean, you can go and read chapter 7, chapter 8. He gets into all of this. But because of what Jesus did, his death, burial, and resurrection, we're no longer under that law of sin and death. Now the Spirit of life of God in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. All right. You are the only one that can hold yourself back. God said, go occupy using your creation ability that has been given you as a child of God. Communion is something we do to remind us what a great salvation that Jesus hung on the cross to bring us. He took sickness. He didn't just take. If you'll notice, when Jesus was ministering, sometimes he would say, your sins be forgiven you, rise up and walk. Or whatever. Because sin was associated with the sickness. Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. And it's a fact. It's not just, sounds good, but do I really believe it? That's what this ordinance that we're about to partake of is about. Remember the Lord's death till he come. He died, bore sickness, so that we could live and not bear sickness. Okay.